This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here in Portland on a roaster of a Tuesday.
Hot.
It's hot outside.
Yeah.
In late September.
What an opportunity.
We get to go outside.
Indeed.
You know, watered my lawn this morning.
Did you?
It needed to happen.
My lawn's so cooked, I just let it go.
Yeah, well, I just put the fall turf builder on it, you know? Because I don't have another weekend to do this.
Yeah. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
I did. I fed it good.
Whether you're listening on 1080
Feed the weeds.
Watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. And as Jeff Russ mentioned, we were joined about 40 minutes ago by President of Business Operations, Dwayne Hankins.
Whoop, whoop.
For the Portland Trailblazers, talk about the new TV deal. And you can find that interview on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. So,
yeah.
Dwayne with some good stuff and some clarifications on some things that people had questions about. And we appreciate him for hopping on with us.
Yeah, it was great. I think this is a huge boost for Portland.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a much needed win in an organization that's taken a lot of losses lately, on and off the floor.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it is now Tuesday at 2 o'clock ish, which means it's time for three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't, coming out of the NFL weekend that was.
Yeah, buddy.
Dusty, what is your first up?
My first up, I think this is going to be a pretty easy one. Rookie quarterbacks in the NFL up this weekend. It wasn't just statistically speaking. It's not the fact that we saw touchdowns from Caleb Williams and touchdowns from Jaden Daniels through the air. Bo Nix still looking for his first passing touchdown, although he's had a couple dropped. I think that what we are seeing from the rookie quarterbacks was a far greater command of the game. And it felt like for all three, the game was slowing down a little bit for all three of them. And Jaden Daniels especially, he blew me away yesterday in Monday Night Football. He was outstanding, but all three rookie quarterbacks, their command of the game stuck out in week three.
I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to say Josh Allen uniting the Bills.
That's pretty good.
He is the bellwether, the anchor, the touch point, whatever you want to be. He is the talisman of the Bills. Yep. Everything. He is the sun of that solar system, and everything else is revolving around him, and he is absolutely scorching hot.
That's a pretty good one. My second up is coaching across the NFL. I thought this past weekend, and I have been touting Kevin O'Connell and the staff that he has assembled with the Minnesota Vikings. I think when you look at coaching across the league, though, it is at a premium when you're talking about coaches that are squeezing the most out of their rosters. I don't want to say it's easy, but you can see how a guy like Kyle Shanahan has success with the talent that is in San Francisco from top to bottom at every level of that team. But when you have a guy like Kevin O'Connell, who is maximizing Sam Darnold, who is a castaway, he's doing it without his second receiver in Jordan Addison, without his tight end in TJ Hawkinson, and then what Brian Flores is doing on the defensive side of the football, they are giving headaches to everybody. I said this yesterday, but just look at what Minnesota looks like pre-snap and what they end up in, it's giving two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL between the years in Brock Purdy and CJ Stroud, guys that everybody says mentally they are ahead of the game, flummoxed both of those quarterbacks. Coaching in Minnesota, coaching in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur has made another quarterback look awesome in Malik Willis, who is a castaway. He's only been there for 4 weeks. Goes out, wins a game. And then you look at Sean McDermott in Buffalo and what they're able to do. You mentioned it's Josh Allen, but I think their coaching staff is doing a hell of a job, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where you lose both of your safeties. You lose Milano, your linebacker, at the beginning of the year. They're doing it despite departures of an elite wide receiver and so many guys on that defense. Coaching is at a premium right now.
I'm telling you.
And a lot of coaches are on the hot seat.
Yeah, that's true. I'm telling you a little bit on this, but I want to give some love to the second chance quarterbacks.
Sure.
Whether it's Sam Darnold, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's on the upper end, Geno Smith and Jared Goff. But Derek Carr. You just go down the list of quarterbacks that I think people would just say, they're just not that. They're not good enough. Yeah. And you take a look at how productive they are being up and down the board. It's truly impressive. The number of guys who have come out from either bad organizations or bad starts or just square peg, round hole, whatever it was, to find success going forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My third up, Saquon Barkley's time machine. This dude is elite through the first 3 weeks of the season. 351 yards on the ground through three games. He is leading the NFL in rushing. He has four rushing touchdowns. He is on pace for a 2,300-yard season in all-purpose yards. He's on pace to rush for 1,989 yards, 23 touchdowns, and have 300 more yards through the air. He has been outstanding for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think it holds up for an entire year. I don't think we have seen Saquon Barkley rush for 2,000 yards this season. But at the same time, his time machine is working. He has been a revelation in Philadelphia.
My last up is going to be the kids are finding their groove, whether it's the quarterbacks. Obviously, Jaden Daniels takes the cake last night on Monday Night Football. Bo Nix finding some success. Caleb Williams finding some success. Rome Odunze finding success. Malik Nabers finding success. You are finding that rookies, even after a little bit of a slow start, Marvin Harrison Jr., finding guys are finding their grooves. And these guys that were taken at the top of the draft, they are starting to really bear fruit early in the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. My first down, I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. He did his weekly hit on 105.3 The Fan today down in Dallas. And Jared was asked about the frustrations of the fans in their 1-2 start being pinned on him. And he said, that's fair. I could see how you could see it that way. He goes, how could you think otherwise?
I mean,
the Dallas Cowboys, and then you have Micah Parsons saying, we got a bunch of guys doing their own thing, being Superman. We don't need guys to be individuals. We need guys to stand out as a team and play into a team game. I think a 1-2 start is not a death sentence, but when you just the feeling around Dallas is that there's already infighting going on.
I mean, they've been punched in the mouth in 2 weeks, too.
You're damn right. And the physicality has been at a premium in both those losses.
The Ravens and Saints absolutely just stuck it to them. It's tough. My first down, the Bengals 0-3 hole. We've talked about this already.
Yelzers.
It is a spot that is damn near impossible to make the playoffs out of. Less than 3% of teams who have been there in the existence of the NFL. And if you go since 2000, only one team has been able to pull this off. It is the biggest death knell in the NFL. And this Bengals team is far too good to have been in this level of, craptitude.
Yeah. My second down is the Chargers training staff. Remember when Jim Harbaugh got hired? He brought in his strength coach, Ben Herbert, from Michigan. It was like, we're going to change the way we do things. Too many injuries. Too many guys getting hurt. Let's take a look at the injury report. Josh Palmer, Junior Colson, Joe Alt, Justin Herbert, Joey Bosa, Rashawn Slater, DJ Chark, Bucky Williams, Chris Rumpf, Tyler McClellan, Chris Collins, Nick Neiman. They are banged up beyond... Heck, Can we just say the entire state of California's training staffs are on notice? The Rams are a mass unit up front, back end, wide receiver. The San Francisco 49ers, nobody is healthy in San Francisco right now. Brock Purdy is even hurt in San Francisco. Maybe the whole state of California's training staffs need to be evaluated. The best thing that the Raiders could have done is gone to Las Vegas, because at least they're not as banged up as any of the teams in California.
It's funny, when we do these, I don't... That'd
be a good excuse for them, though.
Well, I don't ever look at yours. I went big with big time injuries. You've got currently in Detroit, Frank Ragnow is week to week with a partially torn pec. How are you week to week with a partially torn pec? How do you play football with a partially torn pec?
Dan Campbell's your coach.
Good Lord.
He's just tougher than you.
The entire, like you said, you mentioned the entire San Francisco 49ers. I'll save that one because that's, well, that's where I'm going to end up here on the third one. But big time injuries up and down the NFL. Like you mentioned, the Chargers, both their bookend tackles, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, both banged up. The just across the board, there are a lot of big time injuries through only 3 weeks that are going to tell a story for the NFL season right out of the gate.
My final down is Will Levis and his addiction to turnovers. Another two interceptions for Mayo Will, and Brian Callahan, his head coach, who has been on the cusp of killing him at times every week.
He did say
he is not going to bench Will Levis after the loss to the Packers. But we're getting there. Mason Rudolph is on deck. Will Levis is on pace for 23 touchdowns and 28 interceptions this year.
Yikes, dog.
You ain't going to be a starter for long in that. And by the way, remember, he was the 8-1 odds. I said good value on the next quarterback to be benched in the NFL. I bet those are creeping way up now. I bet you lost your value on the Will Levis getting benched odds.
Yes, I would imagine that those are probably negative numbers at this point in time. Speaking of negative numbers, that's where the 49ers find themselves at 1-2, my last down. Look, I know that they've been missing Christian McCaffrey and guys are banged up, but if your team cannot run without some of its all-pros, while you have a pile of other all-pros, you have larger issues. And I've got a friend of mine who works in media, is a big-time 49ers fan, and after the Vikings lost, he's like, look, man, you know, if everything goes wrong and you only lose by one score, you know, it's not really anything to worry about. Well, then you go and lose to the Rams, who basically gummed you to death.
Yeah.
You had no wide receivers. You've got no offensive line. Your defense is banged up. Matthew Stafford's basically has a neck that's fused together, and you found a way to lose.
Yeah, but, I mean, their injuries are drastic. Brock Purdy with the rib injury. You've got Deebo Samuel is doubtful. Christian McCaffrey's in Germany going to get the Kobe Bryant PRP on his Achilles. Dre Greenlaw, not close to a return. Javon Hargrave, he is out this week. George Kittle is questionable this week. Winters, questionable this week. They are just injured absolutely everywhere.
But you have got to find a way to beat the LA Rams, who are as or worse injured than you are.
Where's Brandon Ayuk? How'd he do?
Interesting. How'd Ayuk do? Interdasting. All right, that's it. Three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was. Coming up next. Now, the Portland Diamond Project is moving forward. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's back in the news. The Portland Diamond Project moving forward to secure the rights to that glorious and illustrious waterfront property that's been sitting there for some time now.
Yeah. So Zidell Shipyards is the new target for the Portland Diamond Project. This is great news. Like, talking to people around the Portland Diamond Project, it was like, we're not done. We're just done saying anything out loud, because all of the momentum that they'd built up, it came to a screeching halt when Major League Baseball canceled their visit during the Black Lives Matter protests and right when COVID, like, I think it was November of 2019, yeah, right after the World Series, they were going to come out and
wasn't there an actual shooting two blocks away while they were walking through the streets?
No. They canceled the trip. They canceled the trip.
Oh, that's right. It would have been where they would have been.
I mean, they never came because
it was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop kind of the work that's being done, mm-hmm. right? And yesterday, the report came out that they have entered a 120-day due diligence phase, and they now have a 42-month purchase window open for purchasing the Zidell Yards. If you don't know where that is right on the South Waterfront near it butts on either side this 33-acre plot of the Ross Island Bridge mm-hmm. on the west side of the Willamette River. And so with that being a location, a 33-acre plot is more than feasible. Right now, this is another problem with the A's potential stadium mm-hmm. that they're trying to build in Vegas. They're trying to build that stadium on a 9-acre plot.
Yeah.
The smallest footprint for a stadium in Major League Baseball is Target Field in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. That is 10.5.
And it's built up vertically.
So the Vegas stadium is like, how are you guys going to do this? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? So 33 acres is plenty of space for a ballpark. And I would imagine that if you're looking from west to east to the north of the Ross Island Bridge, you are going to have where the baseball stadium is. And then that, according to the report, the residential, hotel, retail space will be on a 15-acre plot, which I would assume would be on the south side of mm-hmm. the Ross Island Bridge there. If you think of, if anybody's gone to Truist Field in the Battery in Atlanta, mm-hmm. that's on a 60-acre plot, but they have a green space, park, and a entertainment district that has like a movie theater and concert venue.
Isn't like
on
a
it as well.
That kind of connects everything too.
That goes over the Sky Bridge, goes to additional parking okay. Over on the other side. That's not truly where the Battery is. That is a massive area, and like that would be kind of what Terminal 2 would have been, right? It's expansive, it's big, it's large, but 33 acres is more than reasonable for you use 15 acres for the retail space, hotel, and residential area, a component of it. And then you're looking at 18 acres for the baseball stadium and, you know, an area around that.
Let's put this in perspective.
That's tons of room.
The entire Rose Quarter is 30 acres.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the Coliseum and Moda Center.
And that includes the annex and the garages that they're all right there, the Rose Quarter.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty sizable piece of property.
Yeah.
And again, we aren't in the business of building 80,000 seat stadiums anymore.
No.
We're looking at anywhere from 25 to probably 35,000 seat stadiums. That's what baseball, that's what sports wants now. With the exception of the NFL, nobody wants these stadiums that are just gargantuan anymore.
And also, if you've been down to the South Waterfront, you know the high rises that they build, you know, 20 years ago, down there. There is a park area. I mean, this is all within walking distance of it. There is restaurant areas within walking distance of where the ballpark would be, which I hope this comes to fruition, because this is the best location that they've had on the radar. It's better than Lloyd Center. You're going to have ballpark views of the river, which is what everybody wanted, right? It's going to be looking out at like Tillicum Crossing with the orientations of where baseball parks are, right? You're going to be looking right at Tillicum Crossing, the new bridge that has, light rail and bus service going in and out. You have actual transit that does not have to be manufactured or made over there. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big problem with Terminal 2, is all the infrastructure that you'd have to do to build that kind of stuff up. I mean, I-5 is going to be a nightmare. Yes. It already is right there. But how that off-ramp looks and getting down there, whatever. Parking, it's a...
It's still going to be less of a nightmare than what Red Tail would be.
Red Tail, Terminal 2, and everything that they'd have to build up in there. I love Terminal 2 just because there was so much room to do stuff. Yes. And like, if you ever got that off-ramp on the 405 Highway 30, that would have been easy in and out. Mm-hmm. But I like, it's a downtown on the river. It's going to be a beautiful location. Look, now they just got to get it done, baby. Yeah,
they get this done. They have one of the, it's going to be like PNC Park, where you're going to have one of the best views in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Because that location, you're going to be able to afford Mount Hood over an outfield wall. You have a river over the outfield wall, looking up river and looking at, the quote-unquote picturesque part of Portland, because to the west you'll have the skyscrapers. I like...
See the poops floating down.
Yeah, you can be just high enough to not see the water quite as clearly.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have our own little McCovey Cove.
Yeah.
A little home run ball over the wall.
Yeah, I would love it.
A little poop ball?
A little poop ball there.
A little poop ball?
You make sure you don't... You have, like, full scuba gear on.
Yeah.
Full scuba
gear. Don't dive in with your mouth open.
Yeah. I think I love it. I love that there is momentum back again. Craig Cheek, who runs Portland Diamond Project, he's going to join Isaac and Suk today at 4 o'clock. So 4 o'clock, set your dials. Look at big newsbreaker day today. We had President of Basketball Operations on, and Craig Cheek at 1:30. You got Dwayne Hankins, President of Basketball Operations, Business operations, golly, for the Blazers at 1:30, talking the K2 deal. Now you got Craig Cheek coming on, Isaac and Suk at 4. This is great news. I love it. And the Red Tail is still in play for apparently their training facilities
and youth baseball.
Which
I think is a huge thing, because with the loss of Alpenrose,
that
is something that needs to happen in Beaverton. Like, Murray Hill Little League has been like the face of Oregon youth baseball since we were kids.
Yeah.
I mean, sending teams to the Little League World Series, stuff like that. Like, it was always a rite of passage that when you made an all-star team, or when your local Little League team got to have that weekend at Alpenrose, like, that was a big deal.
Yep.
And I think it'd be super cool to have like that kind of spectacle again in Beaverton.
Now, let's pump the brakes on how far down the road they are, because these are, this is a 120-day period. You got 4 months to figure this thing out and see how viable it is. And then from there, it's 42 months for the purchase to actually get it. Nothing has been bought physically, right? But this is a big step forward.
Yeah, a bigger step than they've previously taken.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because with Terminal 2, it was all like feasibility studies and...
And getting the government to see if they would help out with some certain things, because things had to be done because of what had been done to the building.
I love the fact that, like... You don't hear much about from Ted Wheeler anymore, but the fact that he was front and center for the WNBA, and then he's saying, it's a big moment for Portland, a tremendous opportunity to shape the waterfront, create new economic opportunities, and build a vibrant, sustainable neighborhood. At least you have, like, the mayor is saying things like, I'm on board with it, not, we're gonna have to wait and see and be standoffish. No, be aggressive in this. Say you want Major League Baseball, because it'd be badass for the city to
have. Go look at what Utah's doing right now. Look how fast they got a hockey team.
Damn.
And guess what? They're sitting there. Look, the D-backs are sitting there doing the thing that they always do, but Utah's greenlit, was it like $900 million?
Yeah.
To build a baseball stadium. Like, they are not messing around. So Portland does need to get out in front of this, because Utah said, hey, we want a hockey team. And in the span of 6 months, went out and got a hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very motivated ownership group there with Ryan Smith and his folks. So if Portland wants to get this, and hopefully John J. Fisher sells Reinsdorf sells, you can snag one of those teams, or if expansion happens.
Do it. Yeah, the Portland White Sox.
I mean,
want that.
We are white.
You could have one that just names with it, the Portland Birkenstocks.
Ooh.
Birkenstocks.
It would fit. It would fit.
It would fit.
I'm in. I'm on board. I'm happy.
All right. Coming up next, it's Worst Day on the Web. We bumped it back for Dwayne to fill in at 1:30.
Damn right we did.
And we're going to keep it in baseball. We're going to keep it about John J. Fisher, where a Bay Area ABC anchor went absolutely nuclear on John J. Fisher. And you have to hear it. We'll hear that and more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
It's expansive. It's big. It's large.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Look, no one is more familiar with John J. Fisher's blatant D-hole acting ownership than median fans in the Oakland and Bay Area.
Yeah, buddy.
It is. It has been long running. Mm-hmm. When we first started talking about the A's moving from Oakland to Vegas or anywhere, for that matter, we found articles from 1998 talking about the A's leaving.
Yeah, and he bought in 2005, I think is when he bought.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
This has been something that's been brewing with the organization back and forth for quite some time. Larry Beal of KJO, that's the ABC affiliate in the Bay Area, took the letter to open letter to fans from A's owner John Fisher. And, he took the opportunity of a lifetime to absolutely eviscerate the owner of the A's.
All right. So you heard Fisher's statement. Let me tell you what reality is, okay? John, you tried 5 different, extremely flawed stadium proposals. You never got even close to a shovel in the ground. Yes, Oakland politics is often a mess. I will give you that. But John, you surround yourself with incompetent yes men, and because you were born into a billionaire family, apparently never learned you have to spend money to make money. See Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors, your buddy, who still wants to buy the team. John, you're a serial penny pincher. You've destroyed your family's great name and legacy because of your cheapness. As for the statement about loyal A's fans, quote, I wish I could speak to each and every one of you individually, end quote. Seriously? John, we've been trying to interview you for years, but you always choose to remain invisible unless you're begging politicians for public funding. And then you're out in front in Las Vegas.
Yikes.
Damn.
Yeah. And
not wrong.
We all know he is a penny pincher. Mm-hmm. He tried to pull one over several times on the Oakland and Bay Area government, mm-hmm. Alameda County, Oakland, San Jose, even. He tried to move that.
That they had, you know, we just can't come to agreement where you have got city leadership, which, again, city leadership in Oakland is, he's right, a disaster.
But at the same time, like, he was just basically saying, couldn't come to agreement. You're not allowing me to rip you off.
Yeah.
Like, he was basically doing is saying, you're not allowing me to rip you off, so I'm not going to stay here any longer.
Which you tried to do in Las Vegas, and then you had the teachers union come out and basically stomp them out.
Dude, this thing is so far from being complete in Vegas.
Oh, God. It's not going to happen. And Larry Beal kind of goes, he wasn't done. He went after John J. Fisher some more.
There's one glimmer of hope. They're going to supposedly play 3 years in Sacramento.
Right.
If other owners and the Players Association had any spine at all, they would say, no, 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 we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see a real financing plan for the A's stadium in Las Vegas.
Right.
We're still waiting. Vegas is still waiting. They don't have one. Yes, 18 years, they've tried, and they've screwed it up every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's going to change. I would love to see another massive failure by this ownership group, and then maybe Major League Baseball would force a sale to somebody locally. And there's a bunch of groups. Don't listen to anybody that says there's no fan base or there's no money in Oakland. That's total nonsense. I can go call 3 billionaires right now that would buy the team, okay?
Whoa. Damn, he's got 3 billionaires in his phone? But This is the hope, right? Is that Major League Baseball finally steps in and says, dude, you screwed this up. We gave you a golden parachute into Las Vegas and you still can't get this done.
Remember, they spent $50 million on property that they are not even going to use now.
If you cannot do this and you cannot get this done and get this over the hump, you need to sell. And the hope is that they do sell to somebody in Oakland who will keep the team there.
Nah, I disagree.
I think they should, man. Oh, Oakland has lost everything.
Yeah, well.
Everything. And if there's a billionaire who wants to build a stadium, who wants to do it right, keep them in Oakland. I hate teams getting ripped out of town.
I do too, but also they've had so many things ripped out of there by now that they don't even know. And not only that,
that's the reason why.
10 minutes away, you've got like two teams for every sport.
No, stop.
Just give me,
don't do that. On. Don't this do that. Don't do
Portland,
that. Like,
this isn't Portland to Seattle. Come on.
Don't,
like, it's not.
But no, you know this. You know this. You cannot be a fan of a team that you have just hated for your entire existence and be like, well, I guess I'm on board with you. Yeah. That's not how it works,
no,
Danny.
Absolutely not.
You can't do that.
I'm trying to make justification for the John J. Fisher selling off the team and moving into Portland.
Well, I would love that too.
I want baseball here.
I mean, I do too, but I think here's the deal. Whether it's at Arizona or Oakland, this is how baseball has always operated. They get their stadium situated, then you expand. And it just is a revolving door. Now you have Chicago, Arizona, and Oakland all in the same boat. Hopefully, they just say, screw it, Fisher, you're out. Find somebody who wants to buy the team, whether they want to move them or not, whatever. I hope they stay in Oakland, though. I hope they do, because they've been there for over 50 years now. Just keep them there. Just keep them there.
God, that's a lot. That's a long time to be inept.
And there are A's. There's a large swath of passionate A's
fans.
Oh, yeah,
yes, absolutely. And I'm mostly tongue-in-cheek when I
They just don't go, because why would you?
Why would you support this owner?
No.
No, it makes a ton of sense. It's an unfortunate situation for the fans, but God, I want to see that team ripped away from that guy's hands.
Yes.
It would be... We already saw it with the Orioles,
mm-hmm.
and look the fruit that bore. They're already ramped up and looking like a team that's going to...
Yeah, because their owner did the right damn thing and said, you know what we need to do?
Spend money.
We need somebody who can do right by the organization and right by the fans and actually pay really good players that we've drafted.
Ta-da! Who'd have thunk it?
Yep.
It's an insane place to be. Speaking of an insane place to be, leaving Oklahoma can be a little different when you're going from one power program to another to Oregon. Dylan Gabriel has had some back and forth with the program that he left, and we'll address that here coming up next year on Danny Dusty and the Fan. College football, it may be a tough game, but there's still a lot of feelings involved. Good, bad, and otherwise. And there was a little bit of talk about how... Brett Venables addressed the Oklahoma Sooners, quote-unquote, running off Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, because, I don't know, Jackson Arnold ain't it.
Yeah, remind me, was he yanked from the game against Tennessee this
weekend?
Yes,
he was. And now, this has been a big bone of contention within Oklahoma fans, is that they're sitting there going, hey, we had a really good quarterback, a guy who is completing 80% of his passes at Oregon this year, that... we ran off so we could hand it over to Jackson Arnold. What are we doing? Because all of the reporting last year was, oh, we got this five-star quarterback. Dylan Gabriel's going to groom him. He's going to help him grow. He's going to help him mature. And then Dylan Gabriel's going to go off to the NFL, and we're going to have Jackson Arnold. Well, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And so Brent Venables was asked about it yesterday evening. And this is Venables' response about Dylan Gabriel leaving. I did not know at the time he wasn't going to go to the NFL. We had a great conversation with him, disappointed that he wasn't going to go play in the bowl game. With the circumstances of Coach Lebby leaving, Jeff Lebby, who took over at Mississippi State, with Lebby leaving and thought he would get closer to home to Hawaii, I was like, I didn't know I had to fight this fight. I didn't realize that you were even not considering coming back. And he says, yeah, but I just really want to get closer to home. We hugged and shook hands. He was a little emotional, and I was, but it was all really good and positive. You can't make a guy stay. The guy's trying to find his next thing, the next chapter for him. I'm sure he was probably some disappointment that he wasn't more highly thought of in the NFL. He had an amazing year and a fantastic quarterback, but it wasn't nobody running nobody off or things like that. The veterans are good. I think I've always said that the experienced player can do a little more than sometimes the younger guys. That's where Venables kind of left it yesterday. Dylan Gabriel was asked about that today, And his response was, honestly, it's so far gone. I know it's God's got me right where I need to be. I got a smile on my face every day because I'm in Eugene, Oregon, around a bunch of guys. Of course, those guys at Oklahoma that are my brothers for life and guys I played with, it's people I still talk to on the team players-wise. You focus on what you can control. That's right where I'm at. I'm happy. I know God put me right where I need to be, and I think that's all that needs to be said. It kind of sounds like the hype around Jackson Arnold and Dylan Gabriel wanting to be closer to home. I get the lack of NFL interest. Sure, I bet I understand. His size is always going to be something. His height is going to be something that is a detractor for NFL teams.
Sure, he's still bigger than Bryce Young.
Yeah, he needs, I mean, the Carolina Panthers are looking for a quarterback. Maybe this is the year.
Don't you wish that on Dylan Gabriel?
I don't want that. I don't
hey, it worked out
Dylan
pretty
Gabriel.
Well for Andy Dalton yet last week.
But I think all of that hype, and that's what Oklahoma fans, like we just said, like Oklahoma fans were all on board with, hey, Dylan Gabriel is going to be our bridge quarterback to Jackson Arnold. He's going to be here and be the quarterback of the Sooners and lead us to the promised land, brother. He's not.
I will say, since Lincoln Riley left and Brent Venables came in and Dylan Gabriel left, things have not been going well for OU as much as they, every time somebody leaves, they say they're better off. It turns out they're not.
Yep.
Pretty interesting.
Yep. Well, man, quarterback is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there, against Tennessee, there were two big problems, and they are massive red flags if you're an Oklahoma fan. One is that your offensive line, which has always been good and always kind of been the anchor, turning out NFL guys left and right, they could not stop anything that Tennessee was throwing at them.
No.
I mean, was it Pierce? He seemed like he was in the backfield every single play. Every time that a quarterback dropped back, Pierce was back there. And when your offensive line was an issue, but also, like, quarterback getting that ball out quick, like Venable said, like, experienced guys, they mm-hmm. matter. Young guys just haven't seen it. And one thing that, whether it was Bo Nix last year or Dylan Gabriel this year, one thing that Oregon has had over the last 3 years is a guy who's seen everything that could be thrown at him.
Two of the most experienced quarterbacks in literal college football history.
They are literal college football history. Bo Nix more starts than any other player, and Dylan Gabriel
is on pace to break it.
If he starts 10 games this year, he will knock Bo Nix off as the most starts in college football history. You've seen everything. That experience is invaluable behind center, and so. There is that element of it, and I thought that against Tennessee, even when Pierce wasn't in the backfield, you know, one step into a three-step drop, I thought there were plays that could have been made, and that comes down to that experience a little bit. But Dylan Gabriel, I mean, handled it really well, I thought.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
But I thought that it was, I think, like, you read between the lines, and you sit there, and you're like, it's pretty telling that he said, Of course, there's guys at Oklahoma that are my brothers for life. The guys that I play with, it's people I still talk to on the team, players wise. You know, like when you
he's still got his boys.
Yeah, and it's, but I don't think it ended maybe as rosy as old Brent Venables made it.
No, I mean,
so
look, anytime somebody's coming for your job,
yeah,
one way or another, it's even if you're supportive of it, mm-hmm. there's still a competitive part of you that says you did me wrong.
Yep. All right. Well,
so it goes.
What a day.
It's a good day to be a Portland sports fan.
Yeah, it was a very busy local news day.
I like it.
If you missed our interview with Dwayne Hankins, the president of business operations for the Portland Trail Blazers.
I think we both had a stroke today.
Yeah, we did. You can find that on the Audio Vault in the Odyssey app there. You can see the chapters
it's
that Jeff Ross puts.
Oh, look at you.
Craig Cheek coming up on Primetime with Isaac Atsouk from the Portland Diamond Project at 4 o'clock. Up next, it is the 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac Atsouk. See you on Wednesday.
Bye.
It's expansive, it's big, it's large.
All you can eat all day.
What an opportunity.
That is an atrocity.